Good day, and welcome to this IBM P-Series Linux Sales Enablement. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Gail Homan, Program Director for Linux Business Partner Programs. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kelly, and I welcome all of you to our 18th in a series of Linux Lunch and Learns. As you know, these are all designed for you to keep you updated on any events, promotions, programs, anything that's happening around Linux to help your selling efforts. And today's call is very interesting, or I should say this month's Linux Lunch and Learn is very interesting because we will be doing a series of three calls today, next Monday the 15th, and Monday the 29th, which will allow you to become enabled with P-Series and Linux. But before we get started, I'd like to just remind you about several other events that are coming up that you may have an interest in. The first is the eServer P-Series and Linux Technical University, which will be held in Miami on September 22nd through 26th. If you wish to register for this, you can go to www.ibm.com/developer/nlredirect/r224f.html. And another one that's coming up is Linux for Power Workshop. This will be for ISVs and business partners. There'll be two sessions at our IBM Solution Partnership Centers, one next week, September 17th through the 18th in Waltham, and then the following week, September 23rd and 24th in San Mateo. This session will be covering for 2 days 64-bit Linux for iSeries and P-Series with an introduction on the power, architecture, and hardware. If you want to register for this one, go to www.developer.ibm.com/spc/events/linuxpw.html. And the last one I'd like to tell you about is a new online education for X-Series called Migrating from Solaris to Linux on Intel-based Servers. It's a one-hour course. It's free for your customers who register, and it's hosted on Tech Online. So for questions, you can go to support@techline.com or call 877-472-7882. Now, before we get started, I'd like to remind you that today's presentation can be found either in the internal sales systems website or for business partners externally, and you may want to take a pencil if you don't have this already, and I would suggest that you don't download it because it will take too long at this point. Just bring it up and view it. And if you are having a problem with this, you can send me an email at the end. Just let me know, and I'll give you my email address. But the website is www.ibm.com/partnerworld/sales/systems/ibm-sm.nsf-mainframe-set?openform-and-sign-c-doc-plsl-xbpcalls-0903. And you must use your IBM ID to access this presentation. And also remember that you want to make sure that when you're doing this, that you do give everybody who's attending in your session's name so that we can have a record of it. So now let's get started. We're fortunate to have three people from the P-Series group today: Kathy Cacciatore, Steve Michael, and Ron Gordon. So I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, and Kathy, you can get started.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Gail. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to begin with there's two sets of charts on the Partner World website. I'm going to start with the P-Series Linux BP call 090803. And just a quick introduction while you're bringing those charts up. My name is Kathy Cacciatore. I'm in Worldwide P-Series Linux Marketing. I'm responsible for sales enablement, channel enablement, and go-to-market programs. Also, I'll be turning a presentation at a later point over to Steve Michael, who's on the call, and he's with the Americas P-Series Linux team, and he's the P-Series Linux sales leader for all of the Americas. And Steve will go over some of the specific programs and incentives and support structure that's available to help you partners in the Americas. And then Steve will turn it over to Ron Gordon for the first third of our basic training. We call it basic training on how to sell Linux on P-Series. And Ron will take the last half hour of this call and then the entire one-hour call next Monday, the 15th, to complete the second two-thirds of that basic training. And those charts for the 15th are also available now on the website that Gail read off and also was in the invitation and the notices about these three calls. So hopefully everyone has the charts up by now. And we can go to chart two. And here's what we'll talk about real quickly, Steve and I. Business partner enablement, this program that Gail has put together for the Americas with the worldwide team that consists of the three sales training conference calls and also some technical classes that we're working to roll out in the fourth quarter. Then we'll go into the P-Series, the worldwide Linux team and who the players are, who does what. And then I'll turn it over to Steve to talk about incentives and promotions and the P-Series, the America's specific P-Series Linux team initiatives and supporting players from other organizations within IBM that can be brought to bear on your opportunities. So the next chart, it covers what was basically covered in the announcement of this call and the next couple of calls in September, that in 2003, we're enabling a small number, probably a small to medium number of business partners to sell and implement P-Series Linux solutions and expect to grow that dramatically in 2004. And for 2003 enablement, it's not very formalized of a program, but although there's some certifications being worked on right now, but for the remainder of this year, we are putting together a spreadsheet of enabled partners that we will use with our e-server managers, our P-Series Linux dedicated sales specialists, which have just been named for the Americas, and who will be, you know, on quota for Linux on P-Series sales only. And, of course, they would love to have partners to work with them on meeting those quotas. We also have P-Series Linux regional champions that help the rest of their team in each region across the Americas. And we will use these lists, you know, for all of our events and opportunities and participation, much like Gail uses her distribution list to get news out, things like that. So, you know, this is what we would consider basic training. So the basic training would consist of one salesperson attending these three conference calls that Gail set up throughout September from today, the 15th and the 29th, or the replays. So the replays will also capture your contact information so we know that you've attended. And then Gail and I are working on setting up a hands-on enablement workshop to be offered across four cities in the U.S. in what we hope is October. We held a pilot for this in Dallas on August 27th, and your feedback actually from partners was it needed some more depth. So we are going back and adding more technical depth to the workshop and then book the facilities across the U.S. so that those classes are not yet scheduled, and they may wind up in later October and November due to some of the rework. Okay, so look for the announcement on those in the same way that you found the announcement about these sales calls, which were very, very widely communicated. So you should have no trouble hearing about that when they've been scheduled and how to register. And then right beginning in October, we will set up a regular conference call on the same day of the week and same time each month It probably will not be the Scale call. It'll be another, a different call because Scale uses hers for different topics. But we will continue to give the sales enabled partners regular updates, like in October when Red Hat Linux becomes available for P-Series, for example. And later in the fourth quarter, Oracle becomes available for P-Series. So we'll have new news and special topics on each of those monthly one-hour update calls. I think we're taking questions at the end, so I'll just go ahead and keep going. On chart number four, this is kind of the basic structure. We have a very large team. The box in yellow is the team that Ron and I are on, the P-Series, Worldwide Linux Marketing. That's what we do there. We interface with the rest of IBM, and there's quite a bit of obviously focus on Linux, so a lot of interfacing to do. And Steve is specifically into the Aqua box on the lower right under geographies, and with the primary missions of sales and channel enablement in the Americas. So the next chart, you see that same chart. This is chart five, laid out with the names of the people. So, excuse me. In the yellow, there's Ron and myself and our manager, Chuck Bryan. We also have Carl Capolino, who works with ISVs and specifically recruiting and getting them to be enabled for P-Series Linux to expand the applications that are available for you to sell. And then brand new, Lindy Tanzer, she's been on board for a week, to help with communications and deliverables. We have an awful lot of information coming out very quickly, since it's a very quickly growing business for IBM, and a lot of focus being put on it all around IBM. That's Linux on P-Series and Linux on Power in general, that we needed a dedicated person to be able to communicate this information effectively to all of our audiences. And then specifically, again, in the probably most important for you to know, in the geography box, and Aqua, and Steve Michael will take you through these folks in detail, but the top guns are the dedicated Linux sales reps that are just been named. The one for Central has not yet been named. Steve may have an update, I'm not sure. And then the sales champions by region, there's a couple TBDs, but most of them are also in place. So those folks have been specially trained on P-Series Linux and are actively looking for opportunities, and we'll be communicating this list of enabled partners to those people for your interaction. And there's other names that you may see, you may have heard of, and their roles throughout the organization. All right, let me move on to chart six, where it's the sales resources. This is pretty much our sales kit. It needs some major overhauling and updating right now, so I'll warn you in advance, and that's why Lindy's been brought on board, to be able to keep our deliverables in good shape and updated with up-to-date information as it changes daily. So here's what's out there today. There's the first URL is for IBM Internal. The second URL is the same exact site that's actually mirrored to Partner World. So it's the same, a similar site to where you found the charts for this call. All right, you need your Partner World user ID and password to access it. And these are materials that are, they're either for your use in your education or for your use with your customers. Okay. On the next chart, there's where the customer website, so the first stop for customers is eServer P-Series/Linux. And some of the questions we get right away can be found in the answers to them can be found in that first article, facts and features brochure. It's on both the sales kit on the intranet and Partner World site, and also on the external site for customers. The questions that answers is, what is supported on what machine as far as what Linux distributions, what releases, what hardware, partitioning support or not, et cetera. So it's very detailed, and it's really can answer probably a lot of those what is supported questions right off the bat. The P-Series, the Linux for P-Series white paper is also a customer deliverable. All of these are. But that gives a good overview of Linux for P-Series and why customers should consider it. And then it has links to express configurations, which we'll go into later on in Ron's presentation, package bundles at reduced prices, and other links for customers. Now, some things we're working on now, and I actually have updated this chart on chart number 8, but two more things since I posted this presentation on Thursday. You'll see very soon top 10 reasons with proof points, University of Washington case study, a sales trifold. What you'll also see very soon is it's in legal review right now, is a customer white paper on RAS features for P-Series Linux. That's with the new Linux kernel 2.6, some more of IBM's hardware reliability and availability features have been incorporated into the Linux kernel, so Linux can take advantage of them as well as AIX. So there's a good new white paper coming out, and also a frequently asked questions document and an online Q&A mechanism for sales opportunities. So those two things are new. Then Ron is working on a total cost of ownership white paper, similar to the one that you may have seen for X-Series, done by the same analyst, Robert Francis Group. We're working on their sales packages we're calling ice cubes. They'll look like ice cubes for the enabled partners from this call and our IBM reps, our salespeople, will be packages of materials and giveaways and things you can use when making sales calls on customers. I'm working on that one. The sales training will go out on the same sales training we're doing now after the replays are over. We don't want to lose that, and we want to have the ability to keep it up to date, the basic training, as well as the follow-on monthly calls. So we'll be publishing those onto a CD through the Linux team, Rich Farber, and also to P-Series University, where Ron will record his presentations on audio, so you can see them at any time and hear the speakers as well. Then we'll have new ISV pages. We have so many ISVs. Right now, our external site shows only maybe 12 ISVs, and we have upwards of 80, commercial ISVs available for P-Series Linux now, as well as all the open source and things that IBM has ported, as well as the Linux distributions. So we need a whole new set of pages on our external website to communicate those, and they're coming as well as two customer brochures, one probably for high-performance computing and one for e-business infrastructure. And then we've also contracted with our lab in Germany, in IBM Birmingham, to develop some demos that can be used by our partners and our reps from a ThinkPad, so you don't have to but still show, P-Series in action and P-Series advantages. So those things are all in progress, and I hope to be out soon. I know we'll be a welcome addition to the presentations and other materials we have available today. On chart 9, here's some programs that you can offer to drive pilots. Steve Michael will go into some more of these in detail, too. We have SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 8 evaluation licenses with six months license and the telephone support for no charge. Ron is collecting information on that, and we do like to follow up on those to hopefully help you turn them into revenue. But those are available to partners as well as IBMers, and have been widely used already, so I do encourage you to take advantage of that. So they can, especially customers that have P-Series today and are interested in trying Linux, if they have a partitionable machine, you can give them this evaluation copy. They can run it on a partition and hopefully love how it runs on P-Series and buy some incremental processors or new machines for production applications down the road. To complement that, you can download IBM compilers, WebSphere DB2 on the 60 or 90 day try and buy basis from the Speed Start website. The IBM compilers for Fortran and also Visual Age for C and C++ have shown up to 60% performance improvement over the open source GCC compilers. So your customer experience will be much better if you encourage them to use the IBM compilers for their homegrown applications. And they can try them out for free from the site you see there. And then Steve will go into detail about this. I think five are available in the Americas. What we're calling these are power attack pilots, so that for high complex or medium complexity opportunities in the Americas that our actual Linux Unix development lab will provide assistance with those opportunities, including some early software or device drivers, whatever they need, anything complex like clusters, GPFS, parallel, you know, environment grids, even power blades, which are coming in the fourth quarter. You can get pilots going with your customer with lab support, and contact Steve Michael to nominate candidates for that. Okay, I want to turn this over now to Steve Michael from the Americas to go over some of the worldwide incentives on Chart 10 that just got approval, and we're working furiously to get them out to you and available in the Americas. And then he'll take you through the Americas team as well as any additional promotions that are available in the Americas only. Steve?
Thanks a lot, Kathy. Good afternoon, everybody, and good morning wherever you are. To continue the presentation here, as Kathy mentioned, the marketing team is working very hard with the extended team to make sure that we can continue to bring out more promotions, campaigns, and help the ecosystem out. So what we're hoping to get through the process next time around will be some additional margin for the business partners to sell the Linux Ready Express config. So I'm sure everybody on the phone is already aware of how they work, same as the regular Express configs, which have the AIX component, and Linux Ready Express configs have the AIX component removed, and then we pass those orders through to SUSE. And then once Red Hat GAs, we will hopefully be able to do this similar fashion to for folks that want Red Hat. We can pass that through Red Hat as well. So we're always looking for ways to help incentivize and get folks out there to make more money and help solve the problems that customers have, and what better way to put extra money in your pocket. So stay tuned for that as that gets worked. Also, there's some capacity upgrade on demand, turn off or increments, and try and buy capabilities that we're trying to get out so people can turn these LPARs on or extra CPUs to try and buy SUSE Linux or Red Hat GAs. Also, folks out there, we do have special big capabilities for P655s to get very good pricing with AIX and P655s, what we call ready to roll. We're also taking special bid opportunities where it's appropriate for any HPC opportunities or roll your own code or 64-bit capabilities in customer accounts. If the P655 is an attractive price performer for high bandwidth and high throughput, then we're obviously going to entertain Linux capability as well on that P655 ready to roll. That's available today, and we're also looking at trying to sweeten that with the P615s and P630 building blocks in the racks. Government and higher ed is one of the sweet spots we've identified. They're always pushing the envelope in those areas, and lots of folks are already embracing and doing things with Linux, and they're clustering, they're doing their own code, genomic research, the list goes on and on and on. And there's a PowerBuys website that's up there that the team is working on now to try to sweeten the pot on discounts once again for the end user customer. And that's in the process of being worked, and if we can get that done, it'll be very attractive for customers in those particular sectors to go right to the website and purchase directly from that and have their discount already built in, and then the revenue flows accordingly, business as usual. So stay tuned for that, and there's also some campaigns that are starting up for the National Science Foundation grant recipients. Is also coming up later on in September will be the National Institutes of Health, and these leads will eventually find themselves into the Ohm Notes or the Siebel CRM process once they are identified with our telemarketing campaign, and then we'll be able to get those leads into the seller's hands to go and try and close these. And if any of them are government and higher ed oriented, we can point them to the PowerBuys website. And also we have authorization to purchase some more loaners that will be dedicated to help drive the Linux pilots. So that ordering process is already starting, and we will be able to grow the existing loaner pool with AIX, also to have some dedicated boxes to do these P-Series Linux loaner pilots. Also, on the next page for coverage, we have the, I pretty much just call them our Top Gun sales leaders, so we now have dedicated folks to help the effort in the East, West, and Central regions, also covering Canada and Latin America. And we're pleased to announce Wayne Plessinger is now the East Top Gun sales leader, and he will be covering East region as well as the federal team, and he will have sales responsibility for that. So we're all happy to have Dwayne on board. And also for Central, we just received an announcement this morning officially that Bruce Short is now the Central Region sales leader, and Bruce is out of the Detroit area. And he's a longtime P guy as well as Dwayne, and happy to have him out there to help drive this for the Central Region. And then for West, also Bruce will be covering Canada too from a North point of view. And then from West, it's Eric Geisel, and he will be covering all of West Region. And once again, happy to have those guys on board. So they're kind of like our go-to folks. And we've had champions for most of the year. Our champions will continue to be there to help and complement. But sales focus and ultimate responsibility will be on the sales leaders, and the champions will definitely be helping to enable them. And they've got lots of contacts, learned how to navigate the system in the last 5-6 months to help Dwayne and Bruce and Eric get up to speed very, very quickly. Also, the corresponding technical service and support people covering these regions, we have Jerry Babcock and Brian Milks covering East Region. And for Central, we have Jerry Petru, and West is Bill Alcorn, and then Canada is Neil Bunn, and down South, and Latin America is Cesar as well. From TechLine point of view, most of the business partners on the call probably already know Dusty Rose, and Dusty is our focal point in for TechLine. And we also have Carlos Flores to help out. In advanced technical support, most folks know it as Mike Buick's group or the Buick Roadmaster team, but ATS, we have Mike Carline and Robert Gams are also the focal points for the technical support. And those two were the ones that helped get the initial pilot going in Dallas, and we'll be reworking that, adding some more content, and we'll hope to get that out to a couple more cities to get more business partners enabled out there across the regions versus just having one shot at Dallas. So we will definitely get that out to more folks. On the next chart, from the initiatives point of view, from a beachhead point of view, we need to get references, and obviously when you have a name brand reference, you can really leverage it for all it's worth, and we've done that multiple times in the AIX world, and we will definitely do the same thing on the PLinux side. So we have lots of activities going on there. Everybody is really happy to get this thing going, and there are some things to help enable that. As Kathy had mentioned, we have power attack pilots to try to get these things identified if they're going to be, you know, fairly large, high-profile, large revenue-generating opportunities. We will definitely put resource on there to help that out. Also, the SUSE eval copies are going to continue to be offered. And to help build the pipeline, you got to start from somewhere, and we have targeted lists already available. We have the campaigns I mentioned for the National Science Foundation, NIH, the National Institutes of Health, which at least will start to show up in our pipeline and be delved out to the sales leaders in the regions, and also the ready to roll. From the incentive point of view, we have a promo right now, which was announced at July 22nd, and that's announcement letter 303-136. And that offering is anybody that buys a P-Series box today who also wishes to try out Linux and carve out an LPAR, so to speak, they can request that off the website. That purchase is then validated. That customer is given to me, and I will return that to SUSE, and they will fulfill that order. All right, so that'll be good until the end of the year, and it's another opportunity to help seed the marketplace and drive some more interest out there into our install base as they continue to buy and deploy AIX in production. We all know that they're looking at Linux somewhere in their environment, and we want to help enable that. Also, the COD and the MES allotments, these are the quantities that we have allotted for that are approved and for payment, so feel free to bring opportunities forward. It'll be first come, first serve, and we will decide which ones will get these. But it's pretty neat if folks out there already have boxes, and if they want to try a Linux out, Linux LPAR out, we can give them a capacity upgrade on-demand module. Or if somebody wants to just do a straight-up MES, we can do that as well, and hopefully focus on some of the newer customers that are doing this kind of stuff. right? So it's kind of like look at the install base and see what we can do. Now, the next couple charts, I'm not going to really spend a couple nanoseconds on here. These are really for your reference to keep handy, print off, understand what the larger players are. We will be tied at the hip with the America's Linux Impact Team. They've been doing this for 2 years with ZNX. Very good at it. Jim Kerrigan heads that team up. All right. On the next chart, on chart 14, the two guys that also have some P-focus capability as well as all the pillars on Jim Kerrigan's team are Michael Purcell and Chuck Gray. Michael has the sales focus. Chuck is the architect. He's the solution architect. And these guys will be tied at the hip with our P-Series sales leaders for the Linux team and helping to get these skills transferred and enabled across the region. So just stay tuned that these guys are really good, and we're happy to have them help us out and help support the effort. The rest of the charts, pretty much just reference, understand who the global services players are, what the focal points are for the various sectors, also from a software group perspective, who the major players are in the various regions, okay? Just some names, contacts, and phone numbers, and also some of the porting centers and who are the folks that we usually engage to do that. There's a decent portal app there. The sales reps can also get you this information, or your P-Series channels reps can also get you this information. And then also who's who as far as IBM and the Linux distribution partners, who has the responsibilities for the relationships, and obviously Harold Newman we've been working with a lot for the SUSE folks, and Red Hat is coming down the pike with Joe Roden. So with that, I'd like to turn that right over to Ron Gordon so he can get into the presentation on really what it is and how do we sell P-Series Linux servers. Ron?
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Kathy. This is Ron Gordon. On the presentation that says Enabling Workshop, Part 1, hopefully you've downloaded that. If not, we can get a copy to you through Gale. Some of you had a hard time getting to the site. My challenge is to get through a lot of material in a short period of time. Skipping chart one, which does have my email and phone number on it. If you need me, please contact me or Kathy or anybody else, Steve, on the call. But what I want to do this week and next week in the time allotted today and all of next week's call is go over the value proposition of Linux, capabilities, the marketplace, the value proposition, how you can sell it. From an agenda standpoint on chart three, I've kind of logically split this where today's session and the allocated time will basically just take a look at the marketplace of Linux, not trying to bore you if you are cognizant of that area and are working in it, but it puts us on a level playing field. Where P-Series plays, what capabilities we have, and what offerings we have. Then next week we'll go into the solutions and how you sell them, the roadmap, the types of different types of support that you can get besides what Kathy and Steve have already gone over. At the end of today's session, we will have a question and answers, and we'll also have that next week. So if we start on chart four, and I know there's 40 charts in this, but it'll be interesting to get through these in 15 minutes. You have these charts. My comment is most of these charts are capable of being used with customers. I know they say IBM Confidential, but that's just for this call. I believe you can edit these down, and you'll be able to determine which ones are customer-oriented and which ones really aren't. But what's Linux? Linux is an open-source alternative today. It is an operating system that is developed by an open-source community of approximately 3,000 developers. It is then downloaded by what we call distributors, such as Red Hat, SUSE, Turbo Linux, and these people compile it and distribute it to particular platforms. This code, ostensibly, is no charge. What happens is that the distributors that we mentioned basically charge for maintenance. More about that in a minute. Because of this, the product, Linux, if I can call it a product, is seen to have a very low cost of ownership relative to most proprietary operating systems today, be that a Solaris, an HP UX, or especially Windows. Many of the comparisons made today are against Windows, and I'll try to differentiate that as I get into a couple of these. The code, regardless of the platform that Linux runs on, meaning it runs on an architecture such as Power, which is what P-Series is driven by, or x86 or IA64, which are put out by Intel, and run basically what we call Intel boxes. Linux is Linux. You will see very little difference between any hardware platform, from a functionality standpoint, you will see performance differences, and you will also see potentially some reliability characteristic differences, and those will help differentiate the product. But Linux is Linux, and the open source community is a large community that maintains its very high quality code. The current kernel 2.4.21 and certain code from the 2.5 kernel is being backported into the next releases of SUSE and Red Hat. So we're getting better security, better performance right now than we have had in the past. The next chart is only interesting from the standpoint is that customers out there today are taking a look at Linux, and the number one reason in a survey that just completed in April and it was published just last month from IDC is the business efficiency. The cost and the utilization of IT assets are the number one driving factor for customers choosing Linux. Now, this is beneficial to you because what it says is as you go in to see your customer, you're going to know potentially why they're looking at Linux. It's something that they can standardize on and gain business efficiencies because of costs. And the number two is business continuity. The reliability, performance, disaster recovery, security aspects have greatly improved, and they can run it consistently across the hardware platforms necessary to support their application need. The open movement and the technology substitution is also driving customers to take a look at this alternative. Also, on chart six is low total cost of ownership. This particular chart was on chart six was created by Robert Francis Group, and it really compared the Z-Series Linux costs versus Solaris operating costs on 1, 2, and 3 year. We are updating this report with the current data, because the current report that sits there was dated June 2002. We are going to be updating this in the next month and hopefully get out a TCO report from Robert Francis Group that is P-Series power-oriented versus Solaris and Windows. And initial indications are that we'll have a very good story where the applications fit. But there is current TCO methodology. I'd also point out the TCO is not generalized. You must do TCO on an application-specific implementation based upon transaction rates, customer costs, and so on. You cannot generalize TCO for a customer because there's too many variables. Linux runs everywhere, which is one of the benefits of Linux to a customer. The point here is that they can then choose the hardware that will support their application need. For example, if they have a Z-Series machine and they wish to do some server consolidation and they have excess capacity, they can run Linux on that and do consolidation of file, print, web servers, etc. If they have P-Series machines, they can do the same thing. Now, unfortunately for us, they can do the same thing with HP, Dell, and other series. So our challenge is to demonstrate where the IBM P-Series server, I'm going to be very specific here, provides the value to support the customer needs in the superior way. Now, down the bottom of this chart on page 7, you'll see Sun. I'd like to point out that Sun right now, Sun is a company, is really supporting Linux only on their Alpha Intel-based systems. The Spark systems from Sun do not support Linux. So from a competitive standpoint, that's what I mean by Sun on that chart. Compound growth rate, chart 7, there is no doubt that Linux is growing. Survey recently taken, same one as I mentioned, updated in June 2003, has Linux being the third most prevalent operating system. I'd give a quiz, but we don't have time, so I'll give you the first two. The first one is Windows NT. The second one is Windows Server 2000, not 2003, 2000. The reason why 2003 may not be prevalent is it has significant licensing and terms and condition differences than Windows 2000, much higher. Now, if you also take a look at Windows NT, it is going out of service. So customers with Windows NT, which is the largest operating system, are having to change their base. And they have choices. They can go to Windows 2003, higher price, continued security issues, etc. Or they can start taking a look at Linux. And because of this, that's why Linux is growing. Compound growth rate, 35%, but it's currently the third largest. So there's a tremendous opportunity out there as customers have to move off the NT base. And chart 9 just depicts that many, many customers have done this, and it's not just the small accounts that are 10 people and less. It's very large. Alcatel, Warner Brothers, VeriSign, Qualcomm, Shimano, et cetera. These are big companies that are implementing Linux. Why? Concept, chart 11. Applications. The customer must start with the application. In many cases, these applications can be made commercially available. We'll be getting Oracle soon, but it could be WebSphere Application Server, it could be DB2, it could be firewalls, commercially available through paid ISVs, or the open source community applications. And every one I've mentioned so far, be it a database, a web server, firewall, print server, also has an equivalent no-charge open source piece of code that's available. So they choose an application workload that they need. They then choose Linux, chart 12, because it's low cost, source code is available that they can modify. People are getting on this bandwagon. Look at the security holes that are occurring. People can manage the security better if they can manage the source code. They can put internal to the operating system redundancy points, checkpoints, and so on. And it's low cost, and it does the job. Many times today, customers are having to make a trade-off between the perceived high cost of proprietary operating systems and the cost of operating systems such as Linux that are good enough to get the job done. They may not have all the bells and whistles that they're not going to use anyway, but this good enough is becoming a very prominent movement in the field, in the customers, because of the budgetary constraints and the cost of skills that are limited today. So they're looking at Linux, and they can run on any platform. What Linux is going to do as an operating system, chart 13, is insulate the server choice. I said before that Linux is Linux is Linux, 98%. So if you have an application such as a firewall, which does not put tremendous resource constraints on the hardware, it may be that you should go out and pick a low-cost X-series, I didn't say Intel, X-series box, such as a 225 or something for $1,500, $2,000, and run that. But if your application need is high performance, the Linux application will insulate the server, and your server choice now should be one that is more powerful. The benefit to the customer is they can install Linux, they can train their administrative people, their management people, they can change the source code, they can work with a single distributor to get their code and maintain a better standards base across their company at a lower price. Now you just pick the hardware. So what happens? If you take a look at chart 14, from a competitive standpoint, from server sales, I'm assuming that we're all here to sell servers, the application is not where the competition is. The Linux is not necessarily where the competition is because customers are standardizing on Linux. I consistently hear, help me compare, contrast AIX versus Linux. And I don't think that's the proper statement. I think AIX has a very value proposition where higher degrees of reliability and performance exist over Linux. But if the customer has chosen Linux as the roadmap, we then come in and say, you should buy P-Series hardware when the application needs the power that the P-Series can provide. So the point is, whoever runs Linux in the application stack the best will win that server battle. We will not, in P-Series, win all of the server battles because many of the applications will not require the power that the P-Series can provide. Again, I use a file and print server, I use a firewall, I use a web server as the examples. It used to be last year that file and print server, web server, and dispatchers were the number one used applications. It turns out the latest survey says the number one justifying application for Linux today is database. databases in large accounts or in high transaction environments very well play to the value proposition of P-Series, which has power, high scalability, and large memory capabilities. So the switch, now that Linux has become a server-proven, so to speak, is going to start going to the higher value chains of the applications, and database being number one, we have DB2 enabled today, we have MySQL from open source, and we will be getting Oracle later this year in a release that customers can run. So application roles are changing. The market momentum on chart 15 is still very high adoption rates, but when we look at the right-hand side, I get right and left mixed up, it's the little blue lines, that what happened in 2002 has switched in 2003. Not significantly, but it used to be that reliability was the number one reason people were looking at Linux, and that was, again, relative to Windows, most likely. It's now become the number one reason is acquisition cost. I didn't say TCO. I said acquisition cost. It's the low entry price. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. Reliability has moved to number two, and the value of open source has moved to number three. Performance is kind of gone from a latest survey. So let's take a look at what we have from a value proposition from P-Series. On chart 17, historically, prior to 2001, we were running at the beginning releases of Linux. It didn't scale very well, scaled to one way. That was a joke. It did not have all of the capabilities, such as journal file system, that would make it enterprise ready. So people that used this were the NetGen customers, the supercomputing, the universities, that could work with an operating system that would satisfy their basic needs. As Linux picked up scalability, there's gray area in the middle, security, availability, reliability, performance, in 2002 and 2004, as we move to the 2.6 kernel, we will definitely see that there is increased capabilities that make it a mainstream operating environment. When it becomes mainstream to the enterprise class customer, this is very definitely going to play to the strengths of P-Series. On chart 18, I think, is the key point. If a customer has an application that needs superior performance, scaling, possibly the use of partitioning, memory and capacity with high bandwidth, then they will basically be out of the Intel x86 32-bit architected environment. You can only scale so high, you can only get so much performance, you can only get so much memory addressability in the 32-bit world. So for these higher applications, the 64-bit environment is absolutely the customer choice. In that space, there are three primary environments today: the AMD Opteron processor and the Intel Itanium processor family, IPF. We believe that power, with power 4, power 5 coming next year, and power 6 on the horizon, distant, that we will have superior price performance, and system capabilities and reliability and security that will outperform these systems. Opteron has not hit the street yet as a available product. It will be shortly in the eServer 325. The eServer 325, maximum two-way, maximum 12 gigabytes of memory. If you look at the IPF, it does not have the scalability, and it has not reached market acceptance, even though it's been out for over 6 months. It is probably tracking to less than 15% of its expected market acceptance. And the reason is because with the Itanium product, if you run 32-bit applications, they are emulated in 64-bit, and this creates approximately a 30% degradation. Power and Opteron do not have that. They run true 32-bit and true 64-bit with no performance degradation. So there's a very good opportunity when customers have solution needs in the higher end. If we look at page 19, there's a I could spend multiple days on this chart, and it's constantly evolving. But from a positioning standpoint in the IBM product line, we have I-Series and Z-Series, which are very good at integration of applications into existing systems. They have very good virtualization capabilities with fractional partitioning and dynamic partitioning. The X-Series and the P-Series will be the predominant systems that will be running Linux in the future, I believe. Where X-Series will be your entry and will run up through clusters and blades, and the P-Series will be the high performance, high capacity, high bandwidth systems, which will take over where the X-Series brands do not satisfy the high-end customer needs. So there's a basic view of partitioning, and please note that there is overlap. So it's not where one passes off to the other on a pure basis. So if we take a look on chart 20, P-Series, 64-bit, high performance, highly scalable, has a reliable architecture with a roadmap, large memory, logical partitioning capabilities today, 64-bit price performance, and a full range of servers. This is something, top to bottom, that no other brand can match today. If you take a look at where our opportunity is based upon then those high-end workloads, it's primarily on chart 21 in the high-end infrastructure needs, such as database, high-end web application serving, high transaction rates. And the second primary category is in the engineering scientific workloads of life sciences and university and engineering workloads. We've done on chart 22 customer focus sessions to customers, and they very much like the conversation that we have power on a proven platform. So I think if you had to go in with, that's five words to a customer that said, well, why would I want to run Linux on P-Series? You'd say, because it is powerful on a proven platform. And then you can go into alliterations. If we take a look at our capabilities on chart 24, customers have continually asked, well, what are you doing with AIX? Is AIX going away? And the answer is definitely not. But we are converging some of the capabilities from AIX into Linux through the LTC, the Linux Technology Center, led by David Fry in Beaverton. And we will see Linux approaching AIX capabilities. But AIX will remain the leader on P-Series hardware in reliability and performance. For example, AIX has large page support and has many more e-business on demand and reliability features than Linux currently has. If we look at chart 25, we can see some of the differences that if the customer wants the power of the P-Series, but he feels that P-Linux does not necessarily support all of his reliability characteristics, then they may want to look at AIX. Also on this chart, we're taking a look at the differences between P-Linux and the Itanium 64 Linux. And we can see that even Linux on power is going to give you significant reliability advantages over the Itanium product set, which, again, I believe is your primary competition at this point in time in the 64-bit space. I just want to skip chart 26. Our value proposition also continues on 27, that you can run Linux directly on the power hardware. Some systems, like Z-Series and or the AS400, require that we run a guest operating system to take full advantage of Linux. This is not true on P-Series. It can run directly on the system. We also have the capability, far right, to run Linux and AIX in partitions coincidentally. Now, I point out that this is only true on the Power 4 systems. Do not try this on a 620. It just won't do it. And then I'm going to skip AIX Affinity in the middle. So what do we do to support P-Series hardware? Well, we have basically United Linux and Red Hat, and you can also, kernel.org is the Linux kernel download site from the open source community, where you can download the source code for no charge of the Linux kernel. You can then download the GCC compilers and compile this then to a power-based system, and you will be running Linux on power, but you will have no support. meaning if something goes wrong, you can throw the question back to the open source community. I guarantee you'll get answers because there's people out there just looking to help you. But the primary vehicles for commercial environments is Red Hat and United Linux, where when you get the code, you will also get maintenance, websites, and the ability to purchase additional support structures. If we look on chart 29 at SUSE Linux, SUSE is the primary developer of the code for United Linux. And just because people think Linux is free, I'd like to point out that in the bottom part of the chart, there are some pricing examples. For example, if you have a 630, it will cost you $1,200 to get maintenance and $149 to get the media. And what that allows you to do is go to a website, and as the system is refreshed and there are bug fixes, you will be sent the maintenance fixes. This is good for an enterprise customer, especially people that are starting to move into the enterprise space with mission-critical applications. Now, if you go up to like a 690, please note that it, for those same four CPUs, it's $17,000. So this is system priced. And if you think the $17,000 is high, if you look at a Z-Series 900, it is $183,000 for Linux. So the point that Linux is free is true if you get it from kernel.org, but you may not like that because you may want maintenance. You then end up with these prices, but these prices, again, are significantly lower than Windows 2003 pricing. You can also then get premium support that you add on top of this where you can call in 7x24 and get people talking to you with two-hour response time, and that, again, is an additional charge. When we can order Linux in the Linux Ready Express configs, there's a number, 5739LNX, on the bottom line, and I'll talk about Linux Ready Express configs very quickly in just a moment. But when you also get the SUSE distribution, please note that you get a full complement of open source applications, such as Apache, Tomcat, Samba, Squid. They're listed here, some of them. And so you get an operating environment, you get support, and you get sample open source applications, and all of those are supported for a fee by SUSE. SUSE mainly distributes in EMEA and North America. And they also distribute in the English-speaking language countries of Asia-Pacific, such as Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, and others. For the double byte character opportunity in Japan, Korea, China, Taiwan, Turbo Linux is the equivalent United Linux branded product. SUSE's created it. They gave it to Turbo Linux, who did the nationalization to those languages, and they are the distributor in those countries. In South America, Connectiva is the primary distributor who has translated it into Brazilian Portuguese. So they are all basically the same, but they are different distributors, and they do not overlap in those countries. Red Hat is the predominant market leader today, probably has over 70% market share. There are back-level releases that, if you take a look at the 1.7.1 update, it's on the 2.4.9 kernel, and it does not support the Power 4 family. So right now, to a degree, Red Hat is not supporting the Power 4-based servers. However, there is announced Red Hat Enterprise Server AS3 that will be planned availability GA October of this year. There is currently available on the Red Hat download site, the Red Hat main site, you can link to their download site, beta versions of the Red Hat AS3 for Power. And we are actively looking for some customers to download this and start using it so we can get some feedback. This kernel will be 2.4.21 kernel with some backported code from the 2.5 kernel, which will play very well to the P-Series advantages, meaning they will have improved JVM support in the 1.41 kernel, which is 64-bit, JVM, and they will also have the native POSIX thread library, NPTL, and large memory support, which will very much play to P-Series, like I said. So we expect a good deal of support. There are many customers out there that are standardized on Red Hat and are waiting for this release. We should be getting to them and showing them how this release will really play to the advantages if they use P-Series as the underlying hardware, if they have high performance or high reliability application needs. A couple of our offerings, I'm almost done, is P-Linux Express configurations. If customers with 615, 630s, or 650s are looking at running Linux only, they should order these Linux-ready Express configurations because these systems do not come with AIX, and because of that, they have a lower purchase price that is available. On chart 34, we can see that for example, the 615 is up to 11% less expensive if you run it with Linux. Now, you have to add the Linux price to these. I'm talking just hardware. If you take a look on chart 35 at the 630, you'll see that these can be up to 16% less expensive than equivalent models with AIX. On chart 36, we try to demonstrate that for some reason, we assume that the P-Series is a very expensive machine. Now, that may be true with a BMW or a Mercedes, that you pay more and you get more. But with P-Series, it's kind of neat. You pay less and get more. This is like less filling and tastes great. So comparison charts on page 36 take the P-Series and the 630 list prices and compares it to the HP RX 5670, which is the Itanium-based system in one-way 2-gigabyte and four-way 8-gigabyte systems. And we can see that from an equivalent power standpoint, we have significantly less price. So this is one of the issues you'll have to overcome with your customers, the perceived cost of P-Series. And again, in a total cost of ownership analysis, the cost of the hardware is demonstrated consistently to only be 15% of the total TCO. If we take a look at the P650 on chart 37, we see that we also, with a more powerful system, with higher scaling, and a better dollar per memory standpoint, that we still have better price than equivalent 5670 systems from HP. Again, they're our primary competitor. Now, on the 630, just a point, as you go to high memory, please note that you're talking double DIMMs, and the price of hardware memory, the DIMMs, goes exponential after you get past 4 gigabytes. So be careful there because you may price yourself into a bad situation. It may even be cheaper to look at the 650. We also have the 650 Linux Express configuration prices on 38, which are consistently 10% less expensive. My almost last chart says, and we run across the entire product line. P-Series running Linux, it runs on the 615 to the 690. On the 690, we have a great number of customers that are they are running Linux in partitions. This is a very good consolidation point. We found statistically that the average 690 is utilized like 20 to 30%. So we can go to these customers and say, you know, with that excess capacity, you should be able to partition this, put Linux in, and do some consolidation of file and print servers, web servers, etc., off of those NT boxes that you have to get rid of because you don't have maintenance. This is the same technique that Z-Series and I-Series are using. So we should be able to go to our P-Series customers and do the same thing to use the excess capacity there. And the same thing is true with the 670. So that's the end of this. Sorry I went a little long, but I think I got it done pretty quick. End of part one, and we're going to continue this next week. And I'm going to turn it back now to someone, Gail, I think, to see if we have any questions in the remaining time.
Thank you, Ron. And I'd like to thank Kathy and Steve as well. And in the interest of time, I'm going to ask Kelly if we can open up for questions right away.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And again, I'd like to remind the audience, if you have a question, please press star 1. And we'll pause for a moment. And there are no questions at this time. I'll turn the conference over to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Let me remind you that this call will be replayed. I'm having it replayed for 1 month to give others an opportunity to listen to it if they didn't have that opportunity to do so today. And you must hear all three calls to be considered P-Series Linux enabled, or for your firm to be considered P-Series Linux enabled. So be sure that you sit in on all the calls, either the call itself or the replay later. And make sure that you or anyone sitting in with you get your name and email identified so we have a record of that. It's very important, and if they don't give you the opportunity to identify yourself if you're sitting in on a replay, please call back and just give your name and email so that we do have the record. The call-in numbers for that are 888-203-1112 or externally 719-457-0820. And as Ron indicated, the next P-Series Linux enablement sales call will be next Monday, the 15th of September. The presentation is already up, as Kathy told you. You can find it where you found today's presentation. Passcode will be the same, and the call-in numbers are the same as this week's. So again, I'd like to thank Kathy, Steve, and Ron for helping us understand P-Series and Linux today, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. Thank you very much.